Smile again with radio's home folks, Vacansade, written by Paul Reimer. Vacansade is brought to you by Procter & Gamble, the makers of Ivory Flakes.
Ivory Flakes. With their gentle care, your clothes will give you up to twice the wear. Oh, let me have a chair, Ed. I'm exhausted.
From what?
Shopping. I'm looking for a new dress, and it's a job. You know, I hadn't noticed before, but the new narrow skirts make dresses look shorter.
They may look shorter to you, Margaret, but they make me look longer.
What? Oh, I get it. Well, if you like short skirts, Ed, you've got the wrong job.
What do you mean?
You should be telling women to wash things the wrong way, with the wrong kind of soap. That shrinks clothes only too often.
It can fade them, too, and fray seams. And that isn't pretty.
It certainly isn't. That's why I tell everybody who'll listen to use nothing but Ivory Flakes. Because with gentle Ivory Flakes care, colors stay bright, nice clothes keep their fit up to twice as long.
That's right, friends. You'll get up to twice the wear from your rayon dresses, blouses, sweaters, slips.
That reminds me, while I was shopping today, I passed a lingerie counter. And I thought then, you could hardly tell those brand new things from slips, pajamas, and nightgowns that were washed dozens of times in Ivory Flakes.
I believe it. Those wash tests we saw prove it. Why, friends, nice things were put through washing after washing in Ivory Flakes, and they came out looking lovely, practically like new.
And oh, listen, try washing your rayon stockings every night in Ivory Flakes. Tell you why, they'll fit better, look sleek.
And stocking strain tests showed that stockings washed in Ivory Flakes lasted twice as long as stockings washed with the wrong kind of soap. Imagine, twice as long.
Oh, Ivory Flakes are grand. And so mild.
They're the flake form of baby's ivory soap. Try them. Ivory Flakes.
For your gay blouses, your soft sweaters, your silky slips.
Give them Ivory Flakes care. And I promise you'll get up to twice the wear. And now, back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 8 o'clock as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook spending a quiet evening at home. Mr. Victor Gook is established at the library table arranging checkers on a checkerboard, and his wife is seated on the davenport sorting a batch of freshly darned socks. And now there's conversation.
Okay, Dr. Sleech, come on.
I'm ready.
We will riot in a bang-up game of checkers.
Well, look now, you asked me to play this game, so if I don't do everything just right, I don't want you to take on like I'd robbed a bank.
There's no occasion for you doing anything wrong. Checkers is a simple, childish game requiring only a minimum of intellectual exertion. Be seated, Mr. Hooch.
Yes, but just the same, if I make a mistake or two, I don't want my head bit off.
Sadie, honey, to hear you talk, an innocent passerby might gather the impression hubby was a cruel, cruel man.
Hubby can be awful short sometimes when it comes to patience.
Doesn't history tell us that the poet Keats once held a dandelion beneath the chin of the poet Brown?
Oh, yes, let's play, if we're going to play.
Yes, let's do.
Well, go ahead.
You go ahead.
Me move first?
Yeah.
Why me move first?
In competitive games, as in everything else, the gentleman gives the lady precedence.
Yeah, me move first, so you can jump my nice checker.
You've played checkers before, Sade.
I've played checkers enough before, so I can see you want me to move first so you can pounce on my nice checker.
How can I pounce on your nice checker? Show me some place you can possibly move where I can pounce on your nice checker.
That's what I'm talking about, Vic.
Huh?
We haven't even started yet, and already you're jumping down my throat.
Oh, but look once. No matter where you move, I couldn't jump you.
I got a few more socks I can darn.
Oh, stick around.
I'm not going to stick around and be hollered at. If we can't play a little game without getting ourselves excited, we better do something else.
Sit down, old pal.
No?
Sit down, old pal, and I'll tell you all about Uncle Fletcher's landlady, Miss Keller.
Are you going to yell at me?
Never.
All right, then.
Make a snappy move.
Is there any particular big hurry?
No, but in the first few opening plays, it don't make 2 cents worth of difference where you move.
Let's see, what'd I better do first? One thing I gotta remember is that my checkers is the red ones.
You won't find that difficult. See, your checkers are the red ones on your side of the board, and mine are the ones on the black ones on my side of the board. And the ones on your side are red, and the ones on my side are black. So we can pretty well be sure that yours are the red checkers and mine are the black checkers.
Being smart?
Not at all.
I said I had to remember mine were the red ones because pretty soon there'll be red and black checkers on both sides of the board when we start getting dukes.
Kings.
Yeah. Well, shall I move?
Go ahead.
Well, might as well start with this one as any, I guess. There. Your turn.
You moved on a red square, Sade.
What?
You moved your checker on a red square.
I got red checkers.
We have to stay on the black squares and move diagonally.
Well, what you want me to do? Put my checker back where it was?
Please.
Vic, I want you to stop that. You asked me to play. I didn't ask you.
But any halfwit, anybody knows you can't move checkers on red squares like
they
do.
Any halfwit knows that, huh?
I never said halfwit. I said in a general sort of way that anybody
yes,
even
remotely... Yes, I heard what you said in a general sort of way. Yeah, we're in the living room, are they?
You got company?
No. Guess he only stayed to see the picture show once.
Ready to move?
I'm not going to play with you.
Why not?
If I'm a halfwit, I won't take up your time. Go find some whole-wit to listen to you yell and carry on over a little silly game.
I didn't go to the Bajo after all.
Didn't you?
I found something better to occupy my time.
Sit still, Dr. Sleesh.
No, sir, I wouldn't play checkers with you for the dynamite it takes to blow my hat off.
Oh, come on. I promise I'll be as sweet as sugar and gentle as a lamb.
I ran into the society of Emmett Simonson at the corner of Allen and Monroe Street, and he invited me over to his house.
Who is Emmett Simonson?
A guy in my Sunday school class.
Feel like moving a checker, Sadie, honey, baby dear?
No.
I'll be so gentle, lovable, meek, and mild.
I moved a checker and almost got my head bit off. Why should I move any more checkers? What you got in the box?
Some articles of intense interest. Want to see them?
No snakes or toads or anything.
Oh, no. In this box is a collection of Emmett Simonson's personal treasures. He let me bring them home for more intense examination.
Oh.
Sadie, honey, I'm a reformed man. I'm a humble...
No, I said. You've cooked your own goose as far as getting me to play checkers with you is concerned.
I'll slink out in the garden and eat worms.
Go away.
I'll crawl in the mud and whinny like a pet.
Go away, go away.
What's wrong between you guys?
Well, your father got a little too smart and I took him down a peg or two. Let's see what's in the box.
Okay. Wasn't it nice of Emmett to trust me with his personal treasures?
Is there money or jewelry or diamonds?
Oh, no. This is just rubbish that Emmett's accumulated through the years. Full of heartaches. Full of rich memories.
Let poor old hateful Rick Gook have a look.
Everything's got a tag on it, Mom. You notice?
What on earth is this?
A lump of putty.
Ish.
Well, you're familiar with putty. Putty's used in installing panes of window glass and window frames.
I know what putty is.
Putty is a material widely used in the state of Pennsylvania for fixing tea. Putty is a... Well, I wouldn't tamper with the various articles, Gov.
All right. Why does my family hate and despise me so? Why am I scorned and insulted and invited?
Tag on this lump of putty says Uncle Donald.
Yeah, that's right. I'll explain the connection. It's quite a story. Gov, I really wish you would refrain from tampering with the various articles.
Okay. Break my heart. Where's my pocket flask of poison?
What was the story, Russell?
Well, Emmett's Uncle Donald was standing on the railroad depot platform there in Moline, Illinois, and the prettiest girl he ever seen in his life come up to him and tapped him on the shoulder and says, "My papa is Mr. McGilperson. We live in Cleveland, Ohio. Take this lump of putty, please." He handed him the lump of putty and then keeled over in a dead faint.
Well?
Her father and her three brothers drove up in an ambulance and carried her off to the hospital. Emmett Simonson's Uncle Donald never saw a hide nor hair of any of them again in his life.
That's all the story?
That's all the story.
Some story.
Uncle Donald carried this lump of putty every day for the rest of his life in memory of that strange, exciting adventure.
What's this?
Oh, what's it say in the tag?
Murder mystery.
Oh, uh-huh. Give it here once.
Looks like a little hat and coat check like they gave you at the butler house.
Exactly. It's here on the other side. Cloakroom number 2, Vappington Hotel, Suite Esther, Wisconsin.
Is there a murder mystery connected with it?
Yes. Emmett found this hat and coat check on a slate pile down at the coal mine at the end of West Jefferson Street. See where the murder mystery comes in?
No.
Do you, Gov?
I haven't been listening to your conversation. I've been crying.
Don't you see where the murder mystery comes in, Mom? Why would a man's hat and coat check be discovered on a slate pile down by the coal mine?
The man might have had it in his pocket and lost it.
But this is a hat and coat check from Sweet Esther, Wisconsin.
The man might have come from Sweet Esther, Wisconsin.
Without his hat and coat?
Huh?
Look, this man, whoever he was, at one time checked his hat and coat in the Babington Hotel in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin. Right?
I guess so.
He must have never redeemed his hat and coat. Otherwise, he would have been in possession of his hat and coat check. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Esther, Wisconsin is only 200 miles from here. The man must have come all that distance without his wraps.
Uh-huh.
Emmett Simonson suspects foul play.
Here's a little coil of hair.
Yes, sir, a little coil of hair.
With blue ribbon on it. Emmett's baby hair, is it?
Not a living soul knows. It may be Emmett's baby hair. It may be his sister's baby hair.
Mama will get them mixed up?
Yeah. You see, Emmett's got
what's
a sister, Fern. You do not recognize that object?
Well, it's a clothespin.
Clothespin is correct. A very remarkable clothespin.
Hmm.
Years ago, Emmett was sent on an errand by his mother. He was going to the picture show before he took care of the errand, so his mother gave him this clothespin to stick in his belt to remember what he was supposed to do afterward. But in spite of this precaution, Emmett didn't remember.
I've known that to happen millions of times. I remember.
I don't like to open my trap because everybody hates me, but at the same time, I feel it's my duty to reveal that I just heard somebody whistling out in front.
Oh, oyster cracker.
Hey, you kids ain't starting out for any place this time of night, are you?
Oh, no. We're going to sit out on the porch and discuss various topics and formulate various plans.
Well, don't run off. It'll be 9 o'clock pretty soon.
Okay. I'll keep an eye on Emmett Simonson's personal treasures for me.
Sadie, honey.
What?
Play me checkers.
No, I won't play you checkers. You're mean.
I'll be loving, kind, and true if you'll play me checkers.
You call me names.
That's all over.
Tell me I'm a half-wit.
Never, never, never again.
You act like I'm not bright.
You're the brightest star in the whole jeweled heaven.
Yeah.
Come on.
Huh.
Play me checkers.
Well, whose move?
Concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Ed, do you think some people are just born lucky?
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes good luck is good management.
Yes, I guess it is. For example, I've heard women say they don't have any luck at all with rayon stockings. They say rayons don't last. Now, Ed, you know that isn't a question of luck.
I should say not. Why, if a woman wants her rayons to last longer, she should wash them in ivory flakes every night.
Absolutely. In stocking strain tests that were made, rayon stockings washed in ivory flakes lasted twice as long.
Actually, twice as long as rayons washed with the wrong kind of soap. So, play safe. Suds your rayons in ivory flakes.
Every night. Besides lasting longer, those rayon stockings will fit much better, too. Won't bag and wrinkle so.
Even if your dealer's sometimes out of ivory flakes.
Oh, are they worth waiting for?
Because ivory flakes are ivory mild, you know.
Ivory pure.
Try ivory flakes for your blouses, slips, and sweaters.
Never wash them the wrong way.
Remember, with ivory flakes care, you'll get up to twice the wear. Again tomorrow, join in the fun with Vic and Sade. Same time, same station. This is Ed Herlihy.
And Margaret MacDonald.
Saying good day for Ivory Flakes.
And fat-saving habits. Now, more than ever, fighting men need ammunition, medicinal supplies. Save, turn in used fats.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.